This war is real. Fighting is everything. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Tempt not the righteous man to draw his sword. Conviction, righteousness, ruthlessness. To understand tolerance, you have to understand the line of intolerance. War is the teacher, soldiers are the students. They become the bards of war.
Major General William Sherman was a Union general, most notable for his March to the Sea, which spanned November 15th until December 21st, 1864. Sherman understood war more than most generals in our history. He understood that war was pain, and he understood a simple rule. Sometimes you can't tell them, you just have to show them. Welcome to the Bards FM podcast. My name is Scott Kesterson. I am the director and producer of the war documentary, Bards of War, Fighting is Everything, and you're listening to episode 99, Sherman's Philosophy of War, Pain Equals Peace. Major General William Sherman once wrote, "War is cruelty. There is no use trying to reform it. The crueler it is, the sooner it will be over." In the past 3.5 years, as we've worked through this process of the awakening, there's been this perpetual balance of trying to anchor ourselves in faith, God, and prayer, while at the same time feeling the emotional pull to seek retribution for all of the things that we witness and the destruction of those things that we hold so dear. War is a painful experience that most people have never endured, and as I say regularly, it is also the greatest teacher. Too many people try to live a life of perfection, avoiding challenges, avoiding danger. That's not what life is. Life is a perpetual war between dark and light. You can't have darkness without light. You can't know that salt has no flavor unless you've tasted the salt. When I look at generals in history, William Sherman stands out to me as one of the greatest. Not because I celebrate his brutality, but from the simple fact that he did not try to disguise what war really was. War is the harshest of experiences, and once it begins, and people assume their sides and their loyalties in the conflict, there is no way of rupturing that, or ending that, or moving beyond that, until the pain that has been experienced is so great that everyone finally concedes enough is enough. That's unfortunately part of the human model that we know, but it's also deeper than that, because it's part of the life that we live, a balance of dark and light. We are living through one of the most treacherous conflicts in known human history. It's a conflict for your mind, and the stakes could not be higher. We're witnessing the world dividing between those of the nanny state that seek to have the institutions of men comfort them, protect them, and it's symbolized through the mask, versus those that truly put their faith in God and seek liberty and the risk that goes with living free. As General Flynn recently wrote, "Freedom is like oxygen," which once again overlays so perfectly with the wearing of the mask. Those that wear the mask are depriving their lives of oxygen, literally, and those that refuse to wear it are embracing all that comes with breathing in the air in its fullness, even if it has risk. General Sherman's march on the South was brutal. He targeted the food stocks. He targeted the mills. He targeted the mechanisms which kept people's lives comfortable. He pillaged them, and he burned them to the ground. And he put cities in a state of potential starvation. His philosophy was, in my opinion, correct. It wasn't about North and South. It was about unifying the country once again and moving beyond this war that could last forever. He understood something that we have witnessed in our modern day, which we call Balkanization, which comes from the collapse of Yugoslavia after President Tito died, in which the warring states were pitted against one another, all manipulated by deep state and international banking, to create perpetual and lifelong rifts that to this day still exist. Sherman understood intuitively that unless this war was brought to its end quickly and decisively, that this could continue on for decades, even generations. And he understood that to get there, there had to be pain, and that everybody had to share it. I have felt from the very beginning, for those that follow Q, that when the term pain was put up, it was never exclusive to the deep state. It's a monolithic way of thinking. You can't have pain against one without feeling pain back. That's the balance of life. And right now, we're literally witnessing that happening. We're seeing the things that we hold so dear being torched to the ground, toppled, destroyed. We're seeing some of these crazy ideas play out in real time as peaceful protesters assume the role of violent protesters and yet call it peace. As we see innocents attacked and abused. As we see fake racial lines created once again, rifts that were never there but that are perpetuated by a fake media and a small group of agitators, professional instigators, professional terrorists that have been hired to do one thing and one thing only, keep people divided. And yet that's been said from the beginning. Even when I ran Kilroy Rising PAC, we were saying the same thing. As we supported President Trump meeting with people in the Rust Belt states, we were saying the same thing. And yet it was hard for people to understand it or even believe it. The dialogues that we were speaking then are the same dialogues that are being spoken now, except that now people are listening. They're awakening. And part of that process is pain. One of the main instigators of all of this is the fake news. It has always been an instigator of problems. Our founding fathers identified the potential of a, quote, free press to be used for propaganda. Sherman understood it firsthand. Here's another quote by Major General Sherman. I hate newspaper men. They come into camp and pick up their camp rumors and print them as facts. I regard them as spies, which in truth, they are. They've always been the same. And when you control the narrative, you're able to paint yourself as something you're not. Tabloidism, rumor mill generation, propaganda, they're all part of the same genre of influence. And in the end, most journalists have always been despicable. Because what they seek is a story that will grab people's attention. It's one of the greatest ego-driven industries we have. Because journalists desire to be read, desire to have people worship them as the source of truth. And once you start down that path, the ability to be manipulated and lured, especially when you add salaries and benefits and fame, which is power, is not only easy, it's a natural course of who we are as humans. If anything, we should be studying the fake news as a representation of our darker soul. And while there is absolute truth in their role as enemy of the people, because at the center of their role is division, discord, anger, hate, violence, all of those things are what they perpetuate. It's what sells their media. It's what captures audiences. It's what brings the newspaper to people's table. All of those things. The fact of the matter is that within every single one of us, there is that desire to stir that sort of chaos. Maybe it's the gossip mill over the sewing bee, or maybe it's the rumor mill that happens out in the groupies that everyone hangs out with at the bar. We as human beings do this by nature, and when we look at who we are individually, we start to see that war and conflict are an extension of how we live our daily lives. A statistic that's interesting to look at. When we say that there should be no war, then we should also be saying there should be no divorce. Think about that for a minute. A divorce is a war between two people, whether it's two friends breaking up or whether it's a married couple. Once that split happens, the emotions involved, the anger, the desire for retribution many times, it's a mini conflict, it's a mini war. So if we as people can't live in peace, how can we ever expect nations to live in peace? And it's there that I come back to Sherman again, because he understood the nature of war. War is cruel, it's brutal, and in order for us to evolve, we need those lessons of brutality and cruelty. We need those lessons of pain. It's always interesting to read comments of the self-declared righteous, those that want to believe something, but they need confirmation that some negative aspect isn't true. They need explanation for the rough edges because what all they want to see and believe is the smooth, shiny perfection. All we have to do is go back to the stories with Christ and his followers and who he hung out with, tax collectors and prostitutes. Think of the history of Paul. Paul was beheading Christians and then later became one of the great disciples of Christ and spirit of creating so many of the Christian churches. And yet we don't look at that side of Paul. But in this day and age, there's a mythical idea that we need to live this pure and trim path, conform to all things, and not have any rockiness in our road. We seek to have people solve things for us. We look to President Trump and ask him, why haven't you fixed this yet? It's a very devious stealth programming that's been slowly moved into all of us. Because in the process of being pure and right and righteous, we're conforming But what are we conforming to? The rules of men. The rules of the institutions that are slowly molding us and shaping us to be a certain way, to not question authority, to be dutiful in every aspect of our life. Being dutiful, not questioning authority, is not being Christ-like. God gave us reason and God gave us faith. And with those two, you have strength to stand up for what is right and what is wrong. It really fits into Ephesians 5:6. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. It's a very loaded passage. Deception is the biggest tool of control and the biggest enemy we fight. And deception is obscuring truth in all its forms. There is no greater place to be than to live into the world of honesty, truth, and transparency, and to know that who you are is who you are and people can take it or leave it. But you don't get there by trying to walk the careful, delicate path and never questioning authority, being an obedient drone, complying with what they say. Think about the mask and think about Ephesians 5:6. Let no one deceive you with empty words. The entire COVID virus was a deception, and yet people worshiped the media and worshiped their faith in government institutions before they put their faith in God. They gave up liberty with their own free will, and they willingly enslaved themselves with the mask. And so the second part of Ephesians 5:6 reads, "For because these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience." So who is being disobedient? And I argue every single person that complies with deception, that willingly does not question, that does not put reason before faith in false idols and institutions of men before putting faith in God, every person then falls in that place of being the sons of disobedience. And we are here right now because of that blind, obedient following. Major General Sherman again. War is the remedy that our enemies have chosen, and I say, let us give them all they want. And he did, by the way. It's interesting to talk to those within the circles of the South that still explore the histories of the Confederate Army. And there are many that will tell you that Sherman was probably the greatest general of our time, even though he was Union, because he understood that principle again of ripping away the scab of deception of war. People living safely in their cities while their sons went out on the battlefields and came back in stretchers or in pine boxes. There's no difference now. And if there's a reason that I hit on the war theme regularly, it's because once you've experienced war, it changes you. It doesn't make you more warlike. It teaches you the deeper wisdom of the illusions of the world in which we live in. That isn't to say that I wish war upon everybody, but at the same time, everybody is now experiencing war, and the deceptions on which we live are being shattered all around us as a result. And it's painful, and it's unnerving, and it makes people lose hope, and it brings fear to hearts. And in the end, only the strong survive. So every person now has that opportunity not only to witness, but to grow, and to ultimately make the choice of overcoming and having no fear and living into the world fully. And it isn't about escapism, which I call the salvation model, where you're waiting for the knight in shining armor, or you're waiting for the president, or you're waiting for the return of the Savior to fix everything. That teaches nothing. I don't know what's coming, and I don't spend my time worrying about what's coming other than observing the truth of what I see around me. The world is dividing in two. As I've said, we have those that wear the mask that seek the comfort of the nanny state, and we have those that without the mask that seek the comfort and faith in God. But I don't spend time trying to figure out if Christ is going to return, what that date would be, if the world is going to come to an end, if a meteor shower is going to hit us, if there's going to be a solar flare, if there's going to be a massive earthquake. It does nothing for how I live in the moment. If I'm wasting my time thinking about a future that I have no control over, a future that I have no authority to prophesize or predict, I'm not living in the moment and I'm not living the fullest life that I've been asked to live. Living Christ-like is living in the now. It is understanding those lines of intolerance so that you understand what tolerance is. It's being unbelievably strong and so strong in this world that you understand that compassion and love are your strongest weapons in this war. You understand that when you're witnessing material things getting defaced, that nothing is stealing your faith from your heart and from your soul. And you understand as well that there are lines that you must never cross, that there are moments in time in which you must make that seminal decision of selling a cloak and picking up a sword. And though we are not there yet, by any measure, it's the conviction to God to understanding who leads and what our role is, which is to stand and never buckle. That is strength. If you ever question strength, just reflect on the strength that it took for Christ to endure his final days. That's conviction. That's strength. And that's what it's going to take to ultimately win. Because victory is not just here. Victory is in the level of your soul. It's not just what you think, it's what you awaken deep within. That's the true awakening. And that doesn't come by reading Q and sitting back and going, okay, I know how this network works and I know how that network works and wow, I finally see some truth here. All good, I'm ready. Let me know when we're done. Q is an intelligence operation that is allowing you to step beyond the fabric of the matrix, to awaken to knowledge that has been restricted from your view. And in doing so, it is awakening the deeper part of who you are and who we all are as children of God, as children of light. And the potentialities that we have when we let go of the rigid framework in the world in which we live and stepping into a world of unlimited possibilities, unlimited potential, and unlimited prosperity. Only limited by what you believe and what you tell yourself you can't do or can't be. The faith of a mustard seed. And quite literally, you can move mountains if we truly understood the power of faith and all that it means. It's a purity of heart that is so deep and so powerful that nothing ever shakes you. I always end up back at the story of William Wallace when I think of the power of conviction and faith. A man that was literally in the last moments when they performed live vivisection on him and disemboweled him on a table. The force of his soul spoke the words, freedom. That's conviction. War is the teacher. It's brutal. It shakes our soul. And every single person right now is enduring that. Major General William Sherman again. Every attempt to make war easy and safe will result in humiliation and disaster. We are facing an enemy without morals, without values, without ethics, as we understand them. An enemy that feeds on cruelty, takes pleasure in pain, and seeks to win at any cost. Lying, cheating, stealing, raping, pillaging, it makes no difference to them. So we have a choice. Our choice can be to fight fire with fire, or to take the lessons from this war, which we all feel, and rise above. At this point in time, after 3.5 years, really 4.5 years if we include the campaign time leading up to President Trump's election, we have all endured an incredible level of emotional, mental, and spiritual trauma. A war that has been waged intentionally to break souls, to create willful, compliant subjects that ultimately would bow and give in to the deep state's will, and in turn, be enslaved. And quite frankly, the COVID-19 fake pandemic almost achieved that goal for a large percentage of the population. Fortunately, that was not our final exam. But hopefully, the lessons learned from that moment of succumbing to fear, of worshiping false gods, i.e. politicians and institutions of men, hopefully that lesson will stick hard and painfully in everybody's soul. Hopefully everybody that realizes that will take a moment of pause, carry a bit of burden of guilt, and accept a high level of humbleness to realize that the large percentage of humanity failed. Consider it a practice exam for the final exam that's still coming. This war is going to be won by individual strength, by understanding that war is hell, that it's painful, that you don't win by being weak. You don't win by bowing a knee to the masters of evil. You win by standing. You win by prayer. You win by the strength in faith and trust in God. You win by the strength in numbers of marching 50,000 strong, not in violence, but in singing hymns, of bringing God and the power of light into this fight. Those are levels we have yet to achieve, but they're the levels that we must have in order to completely overcome this enemy. The invisible enemy is everywhere. He doesn't outnumber us, but it's an infection of the mind. It's an infection and rotting of souls. It's a willful belief that at any cost, they should achieve their victory over your freedom and over your liberty. Major General William Sherman. Courage, a perfect sensibility of the measure of danger and a mental willingness to endure it. So I ask you, patriots, how much courage do you have? What's your true conviction with God? What's your true strength in faith? What is your true power in prayer? These are the things that guide us. These are the things that empower us. These are the things that give us victory over an enemy without ever firing a shot. So let me close with Proverbs 11:4. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. This time is a time of painful learning and spiritual awakening. Embrace it for all it is. The rewards are unmeasurable, but it's going to require the greatest level of courage and strength you've ever had. Stay strong, patriots. Prayers up. God bless. So thanks for tuning in. Remember, if you like the channel, please hit subscribe, like the episode, and share it on your favorite social media forum. The Bards FM podcast can be found on YouTube and BitChute at Bards FM. You can also join the daily conversations on Twitter and Parler at Bards FM. Also remember to check out Bards of War, Fighting is Everything, the war documentary at bardsofwarfilm.com. That's bardsofwarfilm.com. Buying a copy helps support these podcasts and future film projects. If you would like to support the channel with a donation link is below, as well as an address for those that like the traditional way of doing business. All podcasts are written and produced by Scott Kesterson. Opinions expressed are the individual's only. Interpretation of events are the sole rights and opinions of the podcast presenter and guests. Bards FM, Bards of War, and Fighting is Everything are trademarks of Scott Kesterson and Expedition Cafe. All work is owned and copyrighted by Scott Kesterson and Expedition Cafe. Thank you again. You have been listening to the Bards FM podcast. This is Scott Kesterson, out for now.